For Lent this year, we've been asking each Sunday, where is God? What does the passage from the Gospel reading tell us about where God is? Last week we read Luke 4, 1-13, the temptation of Jesus, and we asked, where is God when we feel like we're in the wilderness? We talked about three of the places God shows up in that story. First, that God is already there in our hearts with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Second, God is where God has already been, where God has already shown up in our lives and in the story of our relationship with God. And finally, we talked about God being in Scripture, in the words passed down through our whole family of faith that are still alive now for us. This week, we jump 9 chapters ahead to this passage from Luke 13. This latter half, or more than half, of the Gospel of Luke is a long slide towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. Jesus knows where he's going. He knows what will happen there, that he will be killed. And he knows that this is the way he will save us. This is his reason for being. He's the dead man walking, and he knows it. But at the same time, he's still going around preaching, healing, and setting free. As usual, Jesus is surrounded by people who don't know what's going on. There are some Pharisees in this passage who warn him so that he can escape and save his life. There's Herod, who thinks that he can hunt down and kill Jesus on his own terms. But both of them fail to see what God is doing. Both of them are trying to look through the peephole while Jesus already knows everything that's behind the door. Which brings us to the first answer to the question of where God is in dangerous and terrifying times. It's that God is doing things that we don't even have a clue about. God is working things out in the background and over times in ways that we'll never know. To take that a step further, if we don't think we see God intervening, that says more about how little we understand than about how real and faithful God is. The Pharisees just see a man on the run. Herod just sees someone who has offended his ego. While right where we don't think God could possibly be, God is already there, doing so much more than we can ask or imagine. In terrible times, God is already there. Second, God is holding a promise. It's the promise to wrap all of this up someday. We're not just spinning through space, left to our own devices for as long as we can avoid destroying each other. No, we're heading somewhere. The Bible is clear that at some point in the future, the kingdom of God will be fully present. And with it, no more crying, no more grief, no more pain. Jesus says, I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Until they recognize who Jesus is. And they will recognize who Jesus is. But between these Pharisees talking with Jesus and the end of time, there's a lot to come. The resurrection of Jesus will show them something more. The Holy Spirit will show them still more. But there's a lot of story in the middle to get through. But we know the end. We just have to keep going together and in faith in the meantime. I wanted to talk about a movie here, Avengers Endgame. Has anyone seen it? If not, are you planning to, and will you be mad if I give you some spoilers? Great. It's been out since 2019, so I was hoping it would be okay to talk about it. The Avengers are a team of mighty superheroes. Thor, Ant-Man, the Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, Captain Marvel, and more. All the favorite comic book stars. And it's this whole series of movies. By the time we get to Endgame, the Avengers story has worked through 21 other movies, weaving together magic, time travel, science fiction, space travel, and parallel realities. We literally watched them all end-to-end over Christmas break, and it was great. The arch-villain is a creature called Thanos. He has a gauntlet with places in it to put 6 Infinity Stones. And when those stones are brought together, they give the wearer power over everything. Space, time, reality, everything. Unfortunately for everyone, Thanos has a terrible plan. He's so concerned about overpopulation that he decides to restore balance in the universe. So he gets the Infinity Stones and uses them to obliterate half of all living things. With a snap of his gauntleted fingers, 50% of everyone randomly just disappears. It's like that way for 5 years. In that time, things get worse and worse. Hope fades. And it would seem that the Avengers had failed at their most important mission, stopping Thanos. The only small glimmer we get comes from a powerful sorcerer, Doctor Strange. He's able to travel in his mind through all the different possibilities, all the different timelines, more than 14 million possible futures. And in every single one of them, they fail, except one. In all those futures, only one leads to everything being okay. It's almost impossible odds. So the Avengers start to race through the multiverse, back and forth through time, to try to get back the stones. But at every turn, it seems impossible. The battle rages on. Everything gets more and more awful. Iron Man asks Doctor Strange if he could just tell him if they're on the right track, if all this horror is worth it. No, answers Doctor Strange, because if you knew what had to happen, then it wouldn't happen. So they stay in the dark while the action builds. Soon it's all the Avengers and their allies against Thanos and all his evil armies fighting for control. Explosions rain down around them, and it looks like they're about to lose it all. Iron Man is at the center of the action. Finally, he manages to fight his way to the gauntlet. Face to face with Thanos, he realizes what using the power of the stones will cost him. But he doesn't know if it's worth it. He doesn't know if it's going to work. What if they're just living out one of the millions of timelines that leads to destruction? Because it certainly looks like it. Everywhere around him, things are falling apart. His eyes dart around the battlefield and settle on Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange just holds up one finger to him to say, "This is the one. Everything is as bad as possible, but this is indeed the future they will win." And knowing that, knowing where they're heading, having the assurance of the end, gives Iron Man the strength to do what he needs to do to save the day. For us too, knowing the end, knowing where we're heading, can make all the difference. Because no matter how awful things get, our faith in Jesus brings the conviction that this is ultimately only temporary, that God's victory is guaranteed, that God's kingdom prevails. The end of the story is already written, and knowing that can change how we understand our circumstances. So where is God in terrifying times? Here's number 3. God is not Iron Man or the rest of the Avengers. God is not weapon-rich armies coming to squash everyone who gets in the way. Interestingly, Luke says that in the face of terrifying times, God is a mother hen wrapping her wings around her brood of chicks, protecting them, keeping them safe when they're threatened from the outside, maybe even by that fox Herod, even at the cost of her own life. The hen puts her own body between the chicks and the danger. Theologian N.T. Wright suggests that the danger might be a barnyard fire, something where there's no escape for the hen and chicks, nowhere to hide. So the hen herself becomes the hiding place. I don't know chickens at all. I know some of you know chickens a lot better than I do. But N.T. Wright says that chickens actually have been known to do this, to give up their lives to protect their young, and that chicks have been found alive after a fire goes through because they took shelter under their mother's wings. So in terrible times, where is God? God is Jesus, working his way closer to the crucifixion. As he looks towards Jerusalem, he offers us this poignant picture of the hen and chicks, of what he is about to do. He's placing his own life, his own body, between us and death. Where is God in terrifying times? God is working things out in ways that we can't even imagine. And God is holding a rock-solid promise that one day this will all be well. And God is sheltering us like the mother hen, giving her own body to save her beloved children. This isn't an exhaustive list, of course. The Bible has many other images that describe what God is doing. And I also want to recognize that these are not always easy places to remember to look for God. Sometimes it's hard to trust God when we don't see most of what God is doing, and that's perfectly natural. But maybe in the end, all we really need to know is that God knows, and God holds us. And if we know that God is active and alive and loves us and with us, sometimes that can make a multiverse of difference. Amen.